2. So let's turn to Romans chapter 9. 1. Why I want to show election, it is, you will see the grace of God. It is really, really important. Romans chapter 9, starting from verse 9. For this is the word of the promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who called. Very good. They are twins, yet they haven't done anything good or bad. If Paul wanted to say on election that Esau is, Jacob is going to be saved because of his action, this would be the best place. But he didn't do that. Okay, then it says here, verse 12, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Talking the same thing, right? Before, the $1 million man gives 700 million to some people, some he doesn't give, or whatever. Is he unfair? Is God unfair now electing Jacob over Esau? Now some people want to, I heard some pastors, Paul made a mistake here. Well, Paul made a mistake. You must be really spiritual than Paul for you to say that. But the Bible says all scripture is breathed by the word of God. Every single scripture. Now, the thing is, what shall we say? If there are unrighteousness in God? Absolutely no. We saw that in the sovereignty of God. It says here, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, not of him who runs, but of God who shows most mercy. This is simple English. You don't need Greek or whatever. You can understand. But the problem is we don't want to listen. We want to put filters in our ears. I don't want to listen to that. But it's in the Bible. Paul goes on to say, verse 19, you will say to me, why does he still find fault? For he has resisted his will. Then verse 20 says, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for destruction? Now let's see Jacob and Esau a little bit, okay? A lot of people might say that Esau was very bad, Jacob was more spiritual, that's why God said Esau. No, Jacob. But Jacob listened to his mom's plan. He deceived his old father. He tricked his old father in order to get the blessing from Esau. This was one of the worst sins, to steal somebody's blessing. And he lied to his old father. Jacob covered his hands with animal skin. When his father was blind, his father touched him and he thought it was Esau. Jacob pretended to be Esau, went to his father and he said, my father, here I am. His father asked, who are you? And Jacob lied to the father saying, I am Esau, your firstborn. Jacob, who is the bad person here? Esau is
Very innocent, he's hunting. He doesn't know what's going on.
The trickster, the crooked man, the wicked man, the deceiver is Jacob. Jacob is only greedy to get the blessing. My question is, who is the fleshly man here? Jacob is the fleshly man. He's not a spiritual man. You got to be honest here. And Esau is hunting to cook some food for the father. But while he's hunting, Jacob is deceiving the father with the mother. They are in a plan. Mother and the son. Lying to the father. Then the father asks, Jacob, how is it that you found it so quickly? Aren't you my son Esau? Jacob said, yes. Without any conviction of sin. There was no conviction. He grabbed the opportunity while his brother was away. He is scheming to deceive, to trick his father to get the blessing with the advantage of his mother's craftiness and his own greediness. When Esau came and found out what happened, Esau wept bitterly. Now, honestly, in your opinion, who was the wicked man? Jacob. Jacob. Whose actions are sinful? Jacob's actions are sinful. Now, if God is going to save somebody according to somebody's actions, He's going to save Esau, not Jacob. If you have a common sense of a mustard seed, you know that Jacob, he deceived his father with lying and everything else. But God, just imagine, God in His sovereign grace, He elected Jacob. What about you? You are just like Jacob, right? Me and you, we come from the Jacob's nature. God in His sovereign nature, He elected me over somebody who is better than me, I thought. So the more you know that you are sinful, miserable, bad person, the more you will praise God for His grace. One is chosen, the other is rejected. Before they did anything good or evil, he did not elect Jacob because he was good. He was a deceiver. Good works are not the cause for election. No. If good works were the cause of election, how would I put that there? But it was the sovereign counsel of God. The biblical, so it's so important for us to understand that it is the sovereign counsel of God. God, you know, it says in the Bible, Psalm chapter 130, if God is going to elect us according to what we have done, Psalm chapter 130 verse 3 says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of our sins, who could stand? If God gives makes a record of your sin since your birth, we are in trouble, deep trouble. So God elects some and rejects others, not according to my faith or what I have done, but according to God's sovereign grace. So Ephesians chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, who saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace, that this grace was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. I don't understand. I don't understand God, why God saved me or you. Only thing I understand is by the grace of God I'm saved. That's it. So, it is not what God foresaw. He had chosen us, and we should be holy. Not because we would be holy, or we might be holy, we should be holy. So, there's another hymn that says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply the cross I cling. So, it is only God's grace alone, alright, only by God's grace alone that we are saved. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 to 9. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 to 9 says, just as He chose us in Him. Remember, in Christ we are chosen, not in ourselves. There's no way, there's nothing good in us. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, without blame, before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Why did God save us? According to His good pleasure of His will. So, how many of you know that there are some Christians in your church, and what I mean is that some people who have been very committed to God, and you saw that they have been really committed to God, and one day you saw they have totally denied the Lord, forsaken the Lord, they have gone to the world, and they are living like unbelievers. And you know, you have experienced that. It is true. That person was never saved. Judas Iscariot is a good example. He looked like a Christian. He acted like one, but he was never saved. He talks about a pastor that he was giving a sermon, and there was an unbeliever in the church, and he listened to the sermon, and the unbeliever was touched by the power of God, and he was convicted of his sin, and he saw the powerful sermon of the pastor. Then the pastor was going after the sermon, he was walking. This unbeliever wanted to meet the pastor because he thought he's a holy man. And he wanted to ask more questions. He thought that the pastor would expound more of his topic. But the pastor never talked about his sermon, absolutely nothing. He was talking all the subjects. And the pastor entered a very withered house, and he was with withered people, sinning against God and making all kinds of jokes and worldly things, sinning against God. And this man thought, oh my goodness, how can it be? And then one day, later on, this pastor was transferred to another place. Years went by. Then this pastor was going to give another sermon in a different place. And this man, he remembered this pastor. And the pastor said, I'm going to give this text. And the man stood up and said, do you remember on such and such a day that you gave a sermon on this subject? The pastor said, yes. But do you remember me, that I went with you, walked, and you went to an ungodly home, and you were behaving like an ungodly man? And then the pastor was speechless, and the man, this unbeliever, he died on the spot. He died. And Spurgeon said that unbeliever's blood is going to be on that pastor for the rest of his life. Yes. There are even pastors who can be preaching the gospel, but later on they can live a very ungodly life because they have never been born again. Salvation, if God did not accept us because we were good or anything what we have done, it's all because of Christ, what He has done. Salvation is of grace alone. Ephesians 2:8 says, 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are saved by grace alone. Okay? And if it's grace alone, There is no works. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Romans 11, 6 says, and if by grace, then it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. You cannot add works to grace. If you add works to grace, then it's not grace. Simple as that. Not even that. God grants repentance to us. You know, if you were saved because of your repentance, you can boast something. But turn with me to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 17 to 18. Acts 11, 17 to 18. If therefore God gave them the same gift as He gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Even repentance was granted by God to Gentiles. He cannot do anything. It's all of grace. That means from the very beginning, from A to Z of salvation is of grace. There's not even one little thing that I can put to show that I can get any boasting. Absolutely nothing. All of grace. The apostles in the New Testament and the writers of the New Testament, they wrote a lot on grace. Grace is a wonder. It's the reality of God's wrath was upon us. His justice was so strong. It's upon us. We are saved only by grace alone. The hymn writers, they caught the sense of grace and wrote, amazing grace, amazing love. How can it be that my God should die for me? Grace is the central theme in the New Testament. Jesus said John said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The central theme in the New Testament is grace. Have you ever noticed that Apostle Paul, when he opened his letters in the New Testament, always start with grace? Romans 1:5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. 1 Corinthians 1:3 says, grace be unto you and peace from God. 2 Corinthians 1:2, grace be to you. Galatians 1:3, grace be to you. Ephesians 1:2, grace be to you. All the way, all through, grace, 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 grace. That means nothing that we have done. Amazing. It is amazing. Why did Paul always begin his letters with the word of word grace? Because the New Testament is salvation of grace alone. Apostle, it's kind of personal to Apostle Paul too. He was an enemy of God, persecutor of the church, hunting down the Christians to kill them. He was responsible for stoning Stephen to death. Yet God elected Paul. That is amazing. He elected Paul. Now, of all the wonders of the world, of all the wonders of science, the wonders of nature cannot be equal to the wonder of grace. So we cannot add any works to grace. It is God's undeserved favor, which we did not deserve. Apostle Peter said, the God of all grace. So it's a golden thread that runs through the New Testament. So by grace we have been saved. The whole plan of salvation is based on God's free grace, nothing on human merit. So, we say that we are a poor. If a man says, I'm a poor, wretched, miserable sinner, I'm hellbound, I don't deserve anything, I'm saved by grace alone, that man is a Christian. Simple as that. Boasting is not involved. Now, we are going to the second part, that is basically God's sovereignty in election. This is the last part. Okay, if we have time, we've got one more to go, so let's see. Now, when it comes to God's sovereignty in election, you can divide it into two. There's an external act of God that is visible to us, and that is done so that His creation, His providence, His redemption are external acts of God. Then there's something called the internal acts of God that is not visible to us. These things have been done not during our time, but through eternity. These are the mysteries of His will, okay? So Apostle Paul said, Romans, Ephesians 1:9, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure and purpose in Himself. The internal acts of God belongs to God in His mind, alright? And these were things that happened between the Godhead that we don't understand. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. I'm going to read this. Deuteronomy 29, 29. And it says here, Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong to the Lord. That's an internal act of God. But those things that are revealed belong to us. Okay? So, election is an internal act of God. Now, I don't understand. Absolutely, I don't understand. Why did God save some and leave others? I don't understand. On what condition? The only thing I can say is by grace alone I'm saved, but I don't understand. But the Bible talks about it, so I have to submit to it even though I don't understand it. Do you understand the Trinity? Can you explain it very carefully, how the Trinity, everything? You can. But do you believe it?
Yes.
Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, they don't believe in the Trinity because they don't understand. Do you understand election? Why God saves some and let others?
Yes.
You don't understand, but do you believe it?
Yes.
Yes. We believe it even though we don't understand it because the Word of God talks about it. It's so important that it talks about it. So, now, election, really speaking, it happened through eternity. Psalm 89, verse 2. It is called the covenant of grace, where there was an internal act of God, that there was an agreement between the Godhead. In the election was established in heaven before time, before we were born. Psalm 89, verse 2 says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, thy faithfulness shalt thou establish to the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, that is of course the Lord Jesus Christ, not talking David. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed shall establish forever and build up the throne to all generations, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness, also the congregation of the saints. That means we are going to praise God because God made a covenant with His servant in heaven. We don't understand what went through that covenant. And Spurgeon said, friends, if you want to be humble, study election. If you're proud, you know, if you want to be humble, study religion because we don't, I don't deserve it. That's all I can say. Absolutely no. I don't deserve salvation. I cannot say, you know, why God saved me and not somebody else. Now, if God wants to, He can provide salvation to everybody, right? Right? No problem. If the rich man, you know, is a billionaire, he can give 700 million to everybody if he has the money. So, if God wants to give salvation to everybody, He can give. Right? Yes. But is our all saved? No. So, salvation He provides to whom He pleases. That's what we saw in Romans chapter 9. And I cannot fault it. Is God unrighteous? Is He unfair? Paul says, certainly not.
No.
I don't understand, but I have to believe what the word says. Now, I cannot say, Apostle Paul made a mistake. Maybe I made a mistake. Not Paul. Yeah. So, election is of God. We don't elect God. God elects us. God is the author of election. Remember, John chapter 6 is a very interesting chapter here where Jesus just made a miracle and a lot of people saw His miracle. John chapter 6.